it's kedai just to read a few lines of the Hakdama Nefesh HaChaim that was written by Rav Yitzchak Mevolozhin, Rav Yitzchak Mevolozhin, the son of Rav Chaim, where he describes a little bit some of the aspects of his father. And he writes in the Hakdama, he says, Mina Urov Noso, he says, Oilo Shul Teire Bishkida Nifloa. Already from his young age, he already committed himself and took upon himself the yoke of Torah. He says, Lamalo, he said, Mibar Arbesa. When he was just about over 14, Kova Lemudoi, he had a Seder established in Ochiv HaGodol. Reb Chaim had an older brother, Reb Simchazal. Bavigorsi Yomomo Velailo. At this age of 14 or so, he had a Seder with his brother, Reb Simcha. That seems not some Seder, but that was the committed learning partner, Chavrusa. And he learned, as he says, Yoimon Valailo, and he says, Vizikneinu Sikrolonu. And our grandfather told us, this means the father of Reb Chaim, told us, not like today, where you have lighting, they had to learn by candlelight. So the grandfather related to us that when they did not have Oir HaNer, when they did not have available candlelight, Oir HaLevona HaVeYofalayin, they would learn by the shine of the moon. That was the dedication to learning Torah. Oir HaLevona Yofalayin LeGirsa Delailo. And he points out that at that time, when Reb Chaim was about 14, the Kiblu Oz Darko Shul Torah Merav Rabbonon, means the rabbi's rabbi, Rav Rabbonon, Goin HaGoinim, Rabbona Aryalev is the Baal Shagis Aryeh. As he already once mentioned, that originally at first, Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Talmud of the Shagis Aryeh. And then he says, he continues Reb Yitzchak, talking about Reb Chaim. He says, V'kadhavi kibar esrim b'chomesh, when he was 25 years old, Havi Gomer, he already had completed, and he was already accomplished, B'kula Talmud in all of Shas, U'poiskim rishonim achreinim, in all of the poiskim. The early authorities, the later ones, were he aloy metayre in Ochiv HaGon. At that age, he would learn Torah with his other brother. The very well known was Rav Zalman of the Volozhiner, was a goyin agoyinim, literally. It was a tremendous goyin to the point that it was once asked, where can you define exactly the difference between the godless of the goyin of Vilna? Because the bekiyas in Shas of Rav Zalman of the Volozhiner was so amazing that it was asked once to try to describe the difference. And the difference that was given is as follows, he says. Let's take something that we know by heart, something, as we say, like, Asher Yoshev Eisecho. So let's say we know it by heart. But even something, a paragraph that you know by heart, if we would ask you to say it backwards, you cannot start with Hallelujah backwards. What you have to do is start thinking, now you have the posting in front of you, and now you start saying it backwards. But you have to start ahead in order to be able to go backwards. The Goyin of Vilna knew Shas as if it was in front of him, which means that he could say it backwards as if he had an open gemara. That was one of the descriptions that he gave to define the chilik and the bekiyas between the Goyin of Vilna and Rav Zalman of Volozhiner. In any case, when Reb Chaim was 25 years old, he'd be learning with his brother, HaGoyin HaTzadik, Domi Lebar Elohim, an angelic, a godly person, Reb Shlomo Zalman, Matoy V'Noyim O'Yishev Esachin Gam Yochad B'Torah V'Avoide. How great it was to see these two brothers sitting together and learning, U'Shneim Kechod, and both together, it was both Reb Chaim and his brother Reb Zalman, learned Torah, Maharav, Hadoim, Elamalach Hashem, Tzavokois, Ir, V'Kodesh, Mishamai, Rabbeinu, HaGodol, Rabban, Shekol, Ben HaGoyle, Meron, Rabban, Eliyohu, HaKosid, as the Vilna Goyim, Zecher, Tzadik, V'Kodesh, Rebrocha, from Vilna. V'Huzal, and it was the Goyim of Vilna that Hetzil, Merucha, Aleyem, that was Mashpia, from his, of course, his greatness upon them, Ruach Chochma, and so on. Ashrei Ayin Rasa Kolela, writes Reb Yitzchak. He says, fortune would be the eye that would have been able to see how these two sat and learned from the Goyim. Horoyim, those who were able to see it, Ro V'Somchu. Those who saw it were able to see and rejoice. Vashoyimim, and those who only heard about it, were always, always hoping and yearning to be able once to see it. Vashoyimim L'mishma Oizim Ta'ava Nafshom. Interesting thing is, that one of the great Talmidim, the Goyim of Reb Chaim Volozhin, was the Baal Nachlas Dovid. You know, my yeshivas, Masechtas Avot Metzia, especially the Sefer Nachlas Dovid, is a very, very popular sefer. The name was Reb Dovid Tevel. I remember particularly at Avot Metzia Dabdalad, there's a whole Shver Sugya there, is one of the, it's called Reb Chia Basreis, it is Reb Chia Kama, two members of Reb Chia. A very difficult shock of the Tari, understanding the give and take of the Gemara there. And the Sefer Nachlas Dover there brings a pshat that he heard from his Rebbe, he says, Reb Chaim of Elojim. The Nachlas Dover, you have to realize, is not Stam and Achron in the sense that who tries to explain whether it's Gemara, Rashi, and Tosis, but he has a very broad shoulders to the extent that he even criticizes Rishonim, which usually when you have questions on Rishonim, which is legitimate, but you speak with a certain Yiras HaKovit, the Nachlas Dover, of course, he understood what the Rishonim were. But his Derech HaLimud was in such a way, in his writing, was uncharacteristic of most people, and certainly that Kufa, that later stage, in the way removed from Rishonim. And he would write, so now he writes in a Hesped, actually there's a Hesped in Sefer called Beis David, from the Nachlas Dover, Drush Alun Bokus, the tree that wails, the tree that cries. And he writes about his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Elojim, three lines. He says, Mi Yered Lonu, now that he's gone, who will be able, he says, to go into the Yama Talmud, into the ocean which is known as the Yama Talmud, the ocean of the Talmud. Benivche Yama Talmud, to the depth of the Yama Talmud. Bavli Yerushalmi, Mishoytet L'Orkom L'Rochavim, to swim through it, to the breadth, to the length, and to the width. Kashi Yodati, because I know, look what he writes about his Rebbe. Says the Nachlas Dover, the big criticizer of everybody. The Nachlas Dover says about his Rebbe, I know, Ki Chozer Al Kol HaShas Kula B'Shloshi Yomim. In 3 days, he could be Messiah Shas. Yes? Nachlas Dover writes this about Reb Chaim Elojim. Ki Yodati, that Ki Chozer Al Kol HaShas Kuloi. Why would he do that? For example, why Dati in 3 days? Why would he rush in 3 days? He says, L'Tzorech Iyun Dinechot, if he had to be Mevar a certain halacha. And sometimes to be able to find the source, it means you have to go all through Shas, because if it's not here, maybe there, maybe there. So he would go through Shas just to find a source for one din, for one halacha, would make a Sima Shas and go through it in 3 days. Entire Shas. Yodanuhu, we knew, Tikola Toyerikula, Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sithri, Sithro, Tesepte, Umechilte, Vedire Hazoya. Now we're going to Nistar, to the esoteric parts of Torah. Dira Hazoya Kodesh, Kizari, Hoyacharusim Aliboy, they were all carved out in his heart. Yagdov Yikoinu, both together, the Chelik Hanigal of Torah and the Chelik of Nister, also Fosov, were equally always on his lips. Again, this is just a few lines about how the Nachlas Dover, how he describes a little bit his Rebbe Reb Chaim Elojim. Let's go, Rav Oysa, to the sheet first. And this is a takeoff, just of one, two items of what we actually spoke about last week. And we have again here, repeat on the sheet, the few lines of Nefesh HaChaim that we need. That we learned last week, that the Chaim, if you remember, in conjunction of what he developed, telling us a little bit about Gadlus Odom, that man was created with Tzelem Elokim, is not just a picture on the outside. He has, like, he looks like Tzelem Elokim in the image or a likeness, but rather this is a title of power. That man has the title of power which the Shem Elokim denotes, Takiv Bal Yecholus. The first Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the all powerful, Kulam. In every area. So man also, through his actions, he controls all of the upper worlds. This world, up or down, other worlds, destroys, builds. And Reb Chaim went on to say even further than that. He said, man is really a blueprint of the Beis HaMikdash. All of the Kelim, and all of the Chalokim of the Beis HaMikdash, actually is reflective in the way man was created. Which is, man is a miniature walking Beis HaMikdash. His heart, said Reb Chaim Elojim, if you might remember, corresponds to the Kodesh HaKadosh, which is the holiest portion of the Beis HaMikdash, not the Beis HaMikdash Lemato, but the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. Shemaim we have corresponding to the lower Beis HaMikdash. We have the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. The heart of man contains with it so much Kedusha, so much greatness, that it corresponds, it literally corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash Shomalo. Okay, we're not to say the Pshat, let's take a look here. The Yesh L'Fari Shalderov, that's the first item we have in the Shechaim, that's from Perek Dalet. Reb Chaim goes on to say that this is the meaning, in fact, when the Pasuk says, V'osu l'midosh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Klal Yisrael that they should build the Beis HaMikdash, K'chol HaShanimara Oischo, in the way that I have shown you to build it, and then it says, V'chein Tasu, then it says, repeat, and so shall you do. And the obvious question is, if it says, V'osu li, it already gave the commandment. It already said that you should make a Mikdash. What's the V'chein Tasu? Rabbi Seinu Zachroinom L'Brocho Dorshu, in Masechet Sanhedrin we find the Chazal Darshan. What does V'chein Tasu come to add? In other words, this picture of the Mishkan is not just for this Mishkan. Because although we know later on, after the Mishkan was dismantled, then came Bayis Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, and so on. So the certain particulars of the Mishkan remains L'Doiris, Certain particulars remain forever. Whenever you build a sanctuary for me, it has to be basically, this is the blueprint for all Batei Mikdash. Reb Chaim suggests a different shot. V'chein tasu. What does the pasuk mean? First it says, Vosel Mikdash, that you build a Beit HaMikdash, and then it says, V'chein tasu. L'darkeinu yishleimer. So Reb Chaim, according to what we have just developed, Shiroseleimer, we can say, Gamken Shiroseleimer, Al tashivu. Do not make a mistake. When I give you a mitzvah to build a Beit HaMikdash, do not for one moment make a mistake. All I need is a building. All I need is a building made out of Beit HaMikdash, made out of wood and stones and bricks and so on and so forth. That's not the real Beit HaMikdash. That is just a picture of how I want you to be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants man to have a living example of what he can be and he should be. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, make and build a Beit HaMikdash, and your body will correspond to the various chalokim to the Beit HaMikdash. Al tachshivu, do not think shetachlis kavanosi. Do not think, the Torah is telling us, that the tachlis, the purpose of my kavanah, who asiyas hamidash hakitsoini, to make the outer Beit HaMikdash, which is the physical Beit HaMikdash. El teedu, the Torah is coming to teach us, shekol tachlis ritsoini, the purpose of my will, the tavnis hamishkan mechol kelos, in order to construct the shape and the form of the Beis HaMikdash and all of its kelim, rak l'ramiz lochem, that is just a remez to you, shememenu tiru v'chein tasu atem es atzmechem. This is a remez how you should perfect yourself. The Beis HaMikdash achitzayini, the Beis HaMikdash is merely a mirror of how a Yid himself is supposed to accomplish. Shetiru atem b'maseichem haritzuyim, that you, through your behavior, through your ma'isim ha'ritzuyim, through your actions, kitavnis ha'mishkan v'kelov, that they should correspond, as being a living mishkan and its vessels, kulam kedoshim, re'uyim u'muchonim, worthy and ready la'hashroi shechinosi b'soichechem ha'mish, hashroi ha'shchini should be within you. The purpose is not in the Beis HaMikdash, made out of wood and stone. Zehu. So now the pshat in the post agrees as follows. V'osu li'migdash. Yes, true. I have given you a mitzvah to make a mikdash. The shachanti b'soy chom daike. But I want to rest within you, within the heart of each and every yid. Shekechoyel asher animaro oischa stavnis ha-mishkan. Because when I show you the picture of how the Beis HaMikdash, the mishkan, looks like, tachlos kavanosu, the purpose of my kavanah, shekein ta'asu esatumachem. The chein ta'asu means, what is the chein ta'asu? The chein ta'asu, this is the way you shall be. So the chein ta'asu is not a repeat, and so shall you make a mikdash. The way the general pshat is, and that's a simple pshat. And it means l'dayris, as Chazal say, okay, for all time, make it this way. The chayin tasu goes on yourself. You make yourself, turn yourself into a mikdash. We also the mikdash, the shachanti b'soichom, so I should be able to rest within you. How? On what basis will I rest within you? Because b'chayin tasu, because you yourself will turn into a living, mishkan. So that's what the b'chayin tasu. Totally different pshat than the b'chayin tasu of Chazal, which goes l'dayris on the Mishkan Achitzoyni, building the shell of the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about building yourself, recreating yourself, and turning yourself into a living Mishkan. Just give an idea how far this goes. This is what Reb Chaim is telling us. So you move up a few centuries and see what the Ramchal has to say about it. In Perik Chobov, where the Ramchal talks about the Midas Kedusha. Now I think we'll have an idea that this concept, what Reb Chaim is saying, it seems like this is so out of this world, asking a Yid to actually become a Yid, to become and to turn into a living Mishkan, a living Beis HaMikdash. Look at what Ramchal has to say about that. Going back now to the early 1700s. And Ramchal says in Mesilas Yesharim as follows. Ach HaKodesh, says Ramchal, a person who is a holy person, Hadovik Tomid Lelikov, who is always connected with Hashem, with HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the Nafshoi Mishaleches, and his nefesh is involved in hamiskolis v'amitiyos. In other words, his mind is occupied with that which is real seichel, which is important. Bahavas boiro'oi v'yirosoi. A person who is capable of being connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that his mind is occupied thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's ahavas Hashem, whether it is yiras Hashem. Hinei nechshav loy. Such a person who is able to achieve that, that is connected, that his mind is connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In an extra way, it is considered, Kilhu Mishalech Lifnei Hashem, first of all, he says, Ba'artzos Hachayim, Person Ram Kal tell me this. A person who lives a life where his mind is occupied with a havat Hashem and yiras Hashem, that is what he's worried about. That is his tachlis. That is his purpose. That is his life. He is living in the other world. He's not really living. He's just physically walking around on this world. But in effect, he has been, as it were, whisked out of this world and taken into the next world while his body is here. But in fact, it's as if, as he says, Mishalech lifnei Hashem ba'artzei zechayim. He's not in this world at all. He's living in the next world. V'ne'ish kozen, I like what he says. It would seem like one soul with the other is exactly writing over. V'ne'ish kozen, such a person who atzmoy nechshav k'mishka. It's exactly what Rav Chaim Nefesh HaChaim is telling us. V'chein tasu. But that's the whole purpose of the Mishkan. That you become a Mishkan. V'chein tasu. Says Ramchal Mamish these words. That such a person himself is a Mishkan. K'migdosh u'k'mizbeach. U'k'mamorim zal chazal say in Medrash Rabbah. Vayal me'ola velikim means that the Ovois henhen amarkova. The Ovois were as were the chariots upon whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu rides. One can imagine when a king rides and is transported from place to place and he rides in a chariot. So the chariot that carries the king, that is an extension, that is the mokim of the king. When you see the chariot, you expect the king is going to be there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, rides upon the shoulders of the Ovois. Why? Because the Ovois, in their actions and in their behavior, they represent the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they are their Markova. They are actually have the Shekhinah upon them. The Chein Omru Chazal say, this is not only limited to the others. HaTzadikim Hein Hein HaMarkova. Tzadikim are actually like the chariots that they are carrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because wherever they go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, is resting upon them. And they are carrying HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them. Kashkine Shoyer Aleihem, Kamashe Shoyer B'Migdosh. The same way that one knows that the Mokem HaShekhinah is the Beis HaMikdash, no less is the Mokem HaShekhinah upon these type of people. The same way that we know that the Shekhinah rests in the Beis HaMikdash, that is the house, that's the Beis Hashem Ki Beisi, Beis Tefillah, this is my house, recognizes Beis Hashem, Tzadikim are the Beis Hashem. They are the walking and living Beis Hashem. They are a Beis HaMikdash. Now look what he says further. If we establish step one, that a Tzadik is a Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash has a Mizbeah. Beis HaMikdash, all these different kelim. And as he points out, he's like a Mikdash, like a Mizbeah. What happens? What do you do with the Mizbeah? Mizbeah is we take a carbon, we take an animal out of flesh and blood, we shecht it, and we sacrifice it, and this becomes an Avoidah Hashem, a carbon. This becomes a great Avoidah, which is the Avoidah, which is Reach Nechoyach Hashem. When the Tzadik eats, if he's a Mizbeah, that's a carbon. When the Tzadik eats, his Achil is also an Avoidah Hashem. It's as if you're making a korban on the mizbeach. What kind of mizbeach? He is a mizbeach. The tzaddik is a mizbeach. And the food that he eats corresponds to the korbanos, which are also flesh and blood, animals. That what you put on the mizbeach, on the, he is similar, is avodas Hashem, even in his eating. It's like a korban that goes upon the fires of the mizbeach. It is certain. There's no question that this is a tremendous, he says, ilugodl means a elevation. El oisam advarim, shoyu oilim al gamem mizbeach, kim shoyu nikrom lefdashim. In the same way that we recognize that any carbon that was put on the mizbeach, this was an elevation for the carbon. The carbon became elevated because it's on the mizbeach. No less does the food become elevated, says Ramchal. No less does the food that it tzaddik eats become elevated as a korban on the mizbeach, because he is a mizbeach, and his food is considered to be a korban. That's an ilui godel. And he goes further, and he says, the kol kach yisro and hoylam bazeh. Not only that, he says, the achievement of a food becoming a korban becomes so special, actually, kol mino mizborech b'chol oylam kamamorim zal b'nefesh. In other words, an item that is used for a korban, do you want to have the idea of what the significance of that is? That because of that item, the entire species becomes blessed. Because, to give you an example, one of the things the Gemara tells us, in Surah Shishana, we are makriv, the carbon ha'omer, right? Starting Sfiras Omer, that's what's called Sfiras Omer, second day of Pesach. So we have this omer, measure of grain, of barley, and we are makriv. So how much are we makriv already? From the total supply of barley in the world. So we take, let's call it, relatively speaking, it's a handful compared to it, less, right? So what happens? What happens? Omra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Takribulafonai, I ask you sacrifice before me. Ho'oimer, Keshadei Shetizbarchu, because of that you will cause blessing, he says, L'chol, to all of the Tvur, for all the Tvur which is in the world. In other words, because when you take what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, all the Tvur in the world, and you use it, a chelik of it, you use a chelik of it in service to Hashem, that justifies its existence. That's why it becomes blessed. That's when it becomes blessed. What justifies anything to exist? What justifies existence is because a Kiddush Hashem comes out of it. And therefore, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Tvur in the world, and you use a chelik of it, that's all you need, he says. By using a chelik of it in the service of Hashem, which brings about a Kiddush Hashem, so this brings bracha. This one act already brings bracha. The same thing, that's what he says. That we find that the tremendous significance of using an item in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the entire mean, the entire species becomes blessed. Or, Gemara tells us, that's the Nisuch HaMayim, the exact same thing. On Sukkot, we pour Mayim on the Mizbeach. What does the Gemara tell us in Sukkot Rosh Hashanah? Nischu, I ask you, please, pour some of the Mayim al Gam HaMizbeach Kedei, Shetizbaruch Lachem, all the water in the world. So here again we see, by using a chelik of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Mel, that brings a brach in the entire species. Says Ramchal further, Kein HaMachol VaHamishte Shoish HaKadosh Oichu. So he says, the eating, the drinking, that this holy person eats. Ilui hu lamachalahu. This now becomes an elevation to this machal. The machal, the quality of the machal, its importance, chashivas, has been enhanced. Ulamishtahu. Kilu nikrav al gabim mizbech. Mamish. What is the word mamish? Because always when you talk about it, it's as if. So always think about it like as if. It's like some sort of a comparison. Once it's as if, you know, there's a lot of wiggle room. How far away is it? How close is it? Ramchal goes on to say, when I tell you it's as if the Mizbeach, I want you to know, mamish, he says. It's not just as if. It's mamish. One has to view it. The food that goes into the mouth of a tzaddik has been sacrificed. You imagine you're standing in front of the Mizbeach and you are a carbon. And that's Abu Ayin Shom Rol of Zal. That's what the Gemara also says in Ksubis. But the Gemara tells us, maybe doyrin the Talmud Chochom, if someone brings a matonah to a Talmud Chochom, kill hikru bikurim. Bikurim is the mitzvah of the Raisa. Bikurim is the first of your fruits of the seven minim, which grow in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah to give to the Kohen. The Torah tells us that even though bizman hazeh, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we are not able physically to bring, as it were, those bikurim, you can still do it today. Because what represents and takes the place, or is equal to the Beis HaMikdash, is the Talmud Chochom. When you say a Talmud Chochom, it means someone who knows a lot how to learn. He's using the term Talmud Chochom, meaning is the all-encompassing Talmud Chochom, because the tachlis of Torah is to change the person to becoming Torah, a piece of Torah, becoming a sacred Torah. That Talmud Chochom, who is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you give him a matonah. It's as if you brought Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Koyim. The Chayin Omru, Chazal say similarly, in Yom Medafayin Aleph, it says, we don't have the Sochim today, we don't have the wine to be poured. All of the libations, the wine that were poured on the Mizbeach. You can do it today also. How? Bring a bottle of wine to a Talmud Chochom. Bring a bottle of wine to a Talmud Chochom. It's as if you brought, and you were menasech yayin. B'chein omru, yume ayin alet, yemalek reinam shal tamidach rechomim. Yayin is b'mokim esochim. Namchal is very quick dad. So it seems that Talmud Chochom are busy with food. Give him food, it's as if you have a Mizbeach. Give him wine, nisach yayin. So does that mean because the Talmud Chochom really is looking for food and drink, that's what he's into? We're talking about food and drink. He says, don't make a mistake, he says. You understand? He says, Vein Adora Hazeh, the purpose of giving yayin to a Talmud Chochom, the purpose of Chazal encouraging us to give wine, to bring wine to a Talmud Chochom, is not because Talmud Chochom wants the taste of wine, so to speak. He's interested in that. Vein Hadovra Hazeh Shiyu Atarida Chachomim Lahutim, that they are attracted or pursuers. Achreo Achilo Vashtiya. Chas V'cholilo. That's what he says. Chas V'cholilo. Shiyamalu Groinam Kimalit Es Agargron. Just filling up your throat, he says, with wine. Elo Inyan Hu Lifi Akavonish Zacharti. But what it means is based upon what we just mentioned a moment ago, and that is, Ki Tamida Chachomim Hakdoshim Bitarcheim Abichol Maseim, Hinehem Mamish Kimigish Kumizbeach. It's all service to Hashem. It's all avodas Hashem. Nifnei shashchina shayra aleihem kamo shoyis shayra. Again, he says, the Migdosh mamish. They have a shoyis hashchina in the same way that the Migdosh has a shoyis hashchina. And therefore, v'nehanikrav lohem, that which is extended to them, to these tzaddikim, these great Oidei Hashem, is kinikra v'gabem mizbeach, as it were, extended and was sacrificed, u'milui groinon, and when you fill the Talmud Chacham, so to speak, when you give the Talmud Chacham, you present them with wine, that takes the place of milu hasfolim. Spolim were the receptacles on the mizbeach, where you poured the wine. Ad kam showing that this is, again, this is the words of the Ramchal. So here you see again that this thesis that Reb Chaim Volozhin deposits over here, the only thing is that what Reb Chaim did is he actually interpreted the posse that way, which is a very beautiful pshat. The Yosel Migdosh, I'm asking you, I'm commanding you that you build a Beis HaMikdosh, means Migdosh in the first time was a Mishkan. It's the same idea. V'shachamti b'soichom, in order I rest, not there, I rest among you, which is the Al Shulchan Kodesh also says that in the Kudet. But Reb Chaim asked, what do I need this whole Migdosh? V'chein tasu, because this is a hayro, this is direction that you yourself, v'chein tasu, you yourself become a living Migdosh. Tamut Chocham and Oyed Hashem, his tasu says that he turns into a Beis HaMikdosh himself. I just want to show you something, a very beautiful pshat here we have here on the left side here. This is in Parshas Vayetze. It's a posik that we're so familiar with, and we see here a new insight into that posik, which is based upon, by the way, of the Nefesh HaChaim that we have just discussed. There's a sefer called Eitzeres HaTorah, Sif Machaber Nes Yisrael. And usually it's a compilation from different Sfarim ideas, very interesting ideas, and here's a piece which is exactly related to what we're talking about in Nefesh HaChaim. This is on the posuk Vayachlum Yaakovinu, he dreams, in Yisulam Mutzavorzo, and he dreams about, there's a ladder, the foot of the ladder is on the ground, Veroshoim, and the top of the ladder reaches all the way to Shemaya. What else does he see? In addition to that long ladder, what he sees is Malachim Elokim Oilim V'yardim Boiv. He sees Malachim Elokim, he sees the Malachim as they go up and down the ladder. So it brings down here as follows, the Sefer Shar Bas Rabbi Makshe, Sefer called Shar Bas Rabbi. He has the following question. We know the Torah is for all time. The Torah is eternal. The Torah tells us an episode. There's something that we have to learn about. What do we gain by knowing Yaakov had his dream? What does that do for us? Yaakov dreamt it. So he dreamt it. So the Torah goes on to tell us Yaakov, he laid himself down, and he dreams about a ladder going from the ground all the way up to Shemayim, and he dreams about Malachim going up and down. So what benefit do we gain from this narration that the Torah tells us this episode, this story? The college, and you, being that the Torah has a message for all time, which means that there's a message for all time, thousands of years beyond when this took place, till be a Samashiach, and for Anan. So the question is, every posik in the Torah is v'zayir v'zayir v'chol posik v'parashish shayich v'cholot v'chol zman. Im kein tzorech v'bazoi, he says, therefore we have to understand. Ma toyelos yesh lomu misipur hachaloi. What the hell do we have by telling us this dream of Yaakov? What do we gain from that? First of all, do Malachim really need a ladder, Rabbi Say? A Malach, in one second, he makes a distance from Shemayim. He has Kisus Adair, the ultimate Kisus Adair. So if it's a Malachim, he's Tzorech, Lal is the Leib of Besulam. So Malachim are able to accomplish this feat. Ladder B'Chlal is not necessary. So what is the message? Elo, Bir, Bishem, Sefer Nefesh HaChayim. Here we have it. So he says, and it suggests the pshat is based upon what we had here in the Nefesh HaChayim. The Shechayim says in very bekitzer again, "Dine kosev ivur olakim es adam b'tzalim b'tzalim olakim baroisoy." So B'chaim explained, what does it mean man was created b'tzalim olakim? So B'chaim tells us, "Biyuroi shaboyer yizbarchu adoyin kol elomes," was the master of all the world. The manhiga mocholeis v'rega b'tzikachosoy. Kishbarchu was the controller, and every second he guides the world. The world is never left on its own, not even for a moment, not even for a second. After the world keeps continuously guiding the world every moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave dominion, gave man similar dominion over all the planets, the entire universe. Al kol olamos, the marshem biyodoi. The notam biyodoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave in the hands of man how to keep this, the power, the ayacholus, the ability. Sheyeh hu amanhigom, that man, as it were, he guides all these worlds based upon what? Al pi maso v'dibur v'machshevoisov. V'anagoisov v'chol inyonov. Based upon what he does, what he says, what he thinks every moment. Whether for good or for bad. Hein l'toyim en l'ra, chas v'sholom. U'kfi maso kan, according to how he behaves here, according to how man behaves here, poil b'olom eshol yoynen. It has a corresponding effect in Shemayim, in the upper worlds. K'may k'rech ha-magneti, he says, like a magnet. Al imaso v'toyim, if he does good, then he gives sustenance and he has power Physically, spiritually, all of the illuminations of the spiritual lights is added. And when Shekosov Potek says, if you take my words into your mouth meaning is that this becomes your second nature, this becomes part of your life, then you have the power to establish the earth and Shemayim, everything according to you. You are the builders. Which means destroying this world, upper world, all of the elements, all the soul in man. No. So now, that's Reb Chaim. So Vim Toimer, you ask a question that Odom Poshet, Makvar Yesh B'Koyche Lipolei Masav, you'll say, how can it be that Odom Poshet? Where does it get? How does he have all that power? Simple person. Pe'ulas Be'elomis Ol Yoinen. So Be'ar Zoyt Al Pi Moshel. The Moshel is, I think I once mentioned this Moshel. The Moshel is that to a Melech Echad that Tzivol is Sofer. A Melech here, he commissions an artist with Tzayir Aluach, it's called Kadu Oris. He wants someone to draw a map of the world. You realize, you draw a map of the world, so of course, it's supposed to have a certain smaller scale. You can't put the entire universe on a piece of paper. So little dots are going to represent certain cities. Larger dots are going to be larger cities. Smaller dots are going to be smaller cities. Countries and so on. Lines that are an inch and a half can represent sometimes entire areas. So the Sofer went ahead, this artist, and he made, right, certain signs. He made certain sketches, the Medinois, countries, or in cities, Yamim, Nahorois, rivers, lakes, Medborios, Aidei, Nekudis, Ketanois. He did this, make various dots here and dots there, Bekavim, Shechayrim, Vadumim, Yeroikim, all types of lines, red, green, black, all different colors representing different parts of the world. Kshesayim Avadosoi, and when he finished drawing his map of the world, Heviol HaMelech, so he brings the map to the king, the Yar HaMelech, the Melech looks at it, and he sees that one dot is missing in a certain area. One small dot is missing in an area. And he had him, those days it didn't take much, that somebody's considered to be a bit. And he had him punished. A very serious punishment. And the artist started to beg and plead. Adoni HaMelech, he says, Your Majesty, what's so bad? I left out one little dot. One little dot. Does that mean I deserve such great punishment? So I left out a dot. Yana Melech, the Melech says, listen, of course, physically on paper, this dot is just a small dot. But that dot that you left out represents a large Medina, a large country. It's not a dot that you left out. That dot represents something. You left out. You omitted it completely. You wiped it off the face of the earth. Kain Am Yisrael, that is the same koich and the power of Am Yisrael. We may be only dots in the greater scheme of things, but every dot, everything that we do, has this tremendous effect, represents, as we say, thousands of times over, as what it appears to be. That's the Kerech of Am Yisrael. Even a very simple person, Masav Haktanim, even small things that he does, which he thinks are nothing, inconsequential, even small things that he does, Poyalim Lamalo, and Lutoyv and Lamutav, Kimam Rakosav, the Posek Gizah says the following. Torah says regarding Klal Yisrael, we are the Chelik of Hashem. Yaakov Chevel Nachlosoi. Somehow we are described as being like the rope, right? The rope of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's possession. What does it mean, like a rope? What is the metaphor, like a rope? Am Yisrael Mishmoseim Kshuris Lamala Kumaya Chevel. We are connected to Shemayim as if we are attached by a rope. What is the significance of rope? The significance of a rope is a long rope. If you shake it on the bottom, it shakes on top. That is what we are. We do something, whether right or left. Our actions reflect to the other end of the rope. Yaakov Chevel Machlosoi. The other end of the rope is in Shemayim, and we are here down on this earth. Ukeshemananin Chevel. When one shakes the rope, Shekitzosoi Echod. One end is on one part. Mumukemecha Tzotah Sheini Kosher Mumukemecha. And the second, the other end is tied to another place. Ale Yisnanea Kol HaChevel HaKeseyu HaSheini. You only shook one end. And yet it's going to have a far-reaching effect on the other side as well. Oh, now look at the pshat in the posse. Hine yedua. Ki ha-malochim mitzad atzmom nikru oimdin. We know that a malach is called an oimdin. A malach is called a stationary being. Why? Because a malach was not given the ability to pick and choose. He has no free will. A malach was created to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a specific mission. Malachim have the specific missions, and they don't have free will, free choice to deviate. A malach does not grow, nor does he fall. A malach is what he is, the way he was created. Man, on the other hand, was given this distinction, which has its great risks, very tragic sometimes, and that is that he has the ability to grow tremendously, but at the same time he can destroy himself. So now, a malach is called a noimet. He's called a being that's stationary. Man is called a hoilach, because man has the ability to continue to move on and to grow, to develop, and therefore to become closer and closer to perfection. And that's a pasuk, by the way. The malachim are called oimdim. Mesafel chomahalchem bein ha'oimdim ha'ele, says the pasuk. The oimdim ha'ele means the malachim in Shemaim, they're called oimdim. Because they cannot develop themselves any greater than they were created in the first place. However, Rabbi Sai, a malach can become a hoilach. You know how a malach becomes a hoilach? Through us. Because through the essence of man, we elevate the world, we elevate everything in the universe that has been created. So a malach, the madrega, the malach effect is determined by our actions. And malachim. We can raise them up or we can lower them. This was the message that Yaakovinu in this dream was given this tremendous yediyah, this tremendous piece of information. The greatness of man. Man is so great that the fate of malachim depends on him. And even though man is standing down here, who would have believed that this is like a remote control, that man is standing down here, and whatever he does here has effects in Shemayim. It's Sulam Mutavarsa Rabbi Isai. But Varesha Megiyah Shemayim, that's man. That is man. Man is the ladder, that foot of the ladder is down on this world. But Varesha Megiyah Shemayim. Heruloim and Hashemayim, Bezer Shomar, Bayakloim in Sulam Mutavarsa. Heruloim and Hashemayim, Shibikoyach Odom, Leilach, Mimalo, Lamalo. Just like you go up a ladder, medarga ladarga, from rung to rung, step to step. Even though man was created on earth down here, but man, even though physically standing down here, but he's able to reach all the way up to the heavens. He has dominion, he has control. The control of man is la'olamos elyonim. And what else? That the hine malach elikim, malachim oilim v'yardim, boy in him. Boy not on the ladder. The malachim oilim boy is in him. Whether a malach is up or a malach is down, who does it depend on? Boy in the man. Malachim. So this is a tremendous message for all time. It's not just a dream that Yaakovinu had. Yaakovinu now is being told. Who would have known this? Nobody knows what's doing in Shemayim. Nobody knows unless there is a revelation that we are able to know. Now, if you don't got this tremendous piece of information, the power of man, the greatness of man, that whatever he does, Sulam Mutavarto, but Roisha Megiyah Shemayimah, and Malach Elikim, whether Oilim or Yardim, boy, that is told in him, that is a man. It's a really phenomenal shot here, Rabbi Isai. So now we go further, and we are at the end of Perek Dalet, Ubezeh Yubon HaKosov. Okay, in light of what we have just learned, we will understand the pasuk. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam Ofor, a God created man, he formed man out of dust. Vayipach ba'apo of nishmas chayim, and Hashem blew, he breathed into man's nostrils nishmas chayim, which is his neshama, which is the soul of life. A man became a nefesh chayim, a living being. Literally, it means a living soul. Listen to this. Nefesh chayim means man became a living soul. Nefesh chayim. You translate it meaning a living being. But literally translated, nefesh chayim means man becomes a living soul. Nefesh chayim, the simple pshat of the pasuk is. What does it mean? By using nefesh chayim, the simple meaning. Yet, avada, the simple meaning, as the Targum says, the man therefore became a speaking spirit. His brother blew in his shaman to man, so now he has turned to a living being to the extent that he's able to Halala, brought to Leimer, and says Rav Chaim. By the way, what Rav Chaim is saying over here, this is a very big issue, and Ramban brings all types of different opinions. But this is the way Rav Chaim takes the position. Rav Chaim is telling us, by the way, this is a simple pshat, of course, of the posik, and he's not arguing with the simple pshat. But we can see, because of the diuk and the loshin, because of a certain phrasing, that we can see what Rav Chaim is leading us up to. First, Rav Chaim is, of course, the simple meaning is, what was the nature of man before the neshama? Kadosh Baruch Hu formed man. Kadosh Baruch Hu formed man out of the dust of the earth. At that point, before he blew the neshama, before Hashem breathed the neshama into him, Rasalayim kashoy aguf levadoy, hoyadayin ofar mamish v'loy shum chiyu tetnuot. At that point, man was simply, he was a lifeless mass of dust. That's what man was. So man was a lifeless, we say, a lifeless mass of dust that could not move, of course, because in nufach boy, nishmas chayim, and then, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu blows and blew into him the neshama of life, was nasa ishchai, so now he became a living being, v'snoya, he can move, v'ladaber, he's able to speak. Fine, Ramban, b'pirush haTorah. Ramban discusses this. Fine. However, Rav Chaim says, there has to be more to that pasuk. Simply to tell us, because Rav blew a neshama into him, so now he's a living being. He can walk, he can speak. Because Rav Chaim times like this. Let's look again at the wording of the pasuk. Hashem blows a neshama into man, and neshama is a spiritual thing. It's a nefesh. What does it say? By he ho Adam, man became nefesh chayor. He became a living neshama. It should have said, look, man has a body, man has a neshama. One would expect the pasuk should say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew a nishmas chayim, so the neshama in the body came to life. The neshama came to life. Now it should have said, by he be'odom, by he, and it came to pass. What came to pass? The nishmas chayim. Hashem blows the nishmas chayim into man, so by he be'odom, the nefesh chayim. The neshama is a nefesh chayim. The neshama now, that was breathed, blown into man, so now it comes to life. So the neshama is a nefesh chayim. The pasuk doesn't say that the neshama, by he in man, which means the neshama in man. It says man himself became a nefesh chayim. Man is not a neshama. Man is a guf. Physical man is a guf. He has a neshama as well. The pasuk should say that the neshama in man is a nefesh chayim. Omnom bekrov the pasuk by he be'odom loiksev. It doesn't say that the neshama in man became. That in man he breathed the neshama into man. So Memele, it became in man a nefesh chayor. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say in man. It says man himself. Olvayhi odom. It says that man himself. So when it says that man himself is a neshama, again, this is the incredible idea that Rav Chaim again, based upon what we have learned, the zayis is coming from the marriage of the word. Therefore, he says, Rav Chaim says, being that doesn't say that means that there came into man a living soul. Again, it doesn't say there came into man, but rather says that he is man. He says, Moshe wants to fly, said that which we already stated above, of the magic of fire, that which we already shown above. And that is, Shehodom b'nishma zakaim shebisoichot, that man through his neshama, man through his neshama, which is already in him now, man now becomes a living soul, becomes a living neshama. The ribui oilomois a mitzvah. He becomes a neshama to the countless higher spiritual worlds. Shekemoi, just as we said, shekoprote hachodis haguf utanoyosov. Just as all of his actions and his movements of the body. In other words, what gives man the ability to move around? It's his neshama. So man's neshama, in other words, gives man the ability. What gives the oilum is shemayim the ability to move? Man. So man, actually, physical man, plays a role as a neshama. He's a neshama to the upper worlds. Again, man himself has a neshama, which gives him the ability to move. That's the neshama that Hashem breathed into him. So it's amazing shot. Hashem breathed the neshama to man. So if man's body now contains the neshama, that neshama allows man to move around. So if it's the neshama that gives life to man, if the neshama gives man the ability to move, so what gives the upper world the ability to move and to do what they're supposed to be doing? It's man. The actions of man. The toivul ra. So therefore it means that man, as it were, is the neshama to the upper world. So man actually is the neshama. He's a sick neshama to the upper world. There's a time. the ability to move around and to do the things that he loves and to speak and to say. Same thing, man who are hakoyach, the nefesh hachayo shol oylem and al yoyim tachtoinim. So too, man is the driving force. Man is the driving force of oylem and al yoyim tachtoinim. He is the driving force of all the countless higher and the lower world. The ancient earth, he says, shekulam misnahagim al yodoy, because the destiny of all the world is determined by his actions. It's an amazing job. So man is the word, man, the entire man is a neshama also. Within himself, you have the physical, and then you have the spiritual. You have the neshama that Hashem put this in, then you have his physical being. But that physical being has in relation to the upper world is the neshama. Because it is, he is the neshama for them. Man is the neshama to the upper and to the higher and to the lower world, through his actions. He causes them to move one direction onto the next direction. So this, again, this is all based upon this idea. So I just want to tell you something that's very interesting, because Perikei is a Perik that their cloud is usually skipped, because there's a lot of Kabbalah here in Perikei, and for the most part we can do the same thing. It's not a big Perik at all, but we're going to do just, at least we should have a little bit of a touch of it. We'll do a few lines of Perikei to say, in most cases, it's skipped. The end of Perikei, by the way, is something that we should be able to handle. It's not difficult at all. But there are called those who in the past who have given Shirin on Nefesh HaChaim tend to skip the Perikei. So I think we can do a few lines of Perikei and explain it a little bit. Okay? And see where it takes us. So take a look here. What Rav Chaim really is now being mamshich about the neshama of the higher world. Man, again, is the neshama of the higher world. By he, not go'odah. That the neshama of Chaim in man became an Nefesh HaChaim. No. By he, ho'odah, man, entire man, became an Nefesh HaChaim. How did he become an Nefesh HaChaim? He's a Nefesh HaChaim to the upper world. He controls, he gives it the koyach. He gives and determines the faith of all those worlds. So man is the Nefesh HaChaim. He's their neshama to the upper world. Chaim goes on to say the following. Chaim says that the march to also Sona Yisbarach Shemoy, regarding Hashem's intention, he says, regarding his intention to set it up that way, that man should be the determinant factor of what happens in the upper world. Okay, so again, march to also Sona Yisbarach Shemoy, regarding this fact, Hashem's intention, the heart of the Todam Atachton, to make the shittas, harkova means when you make a shittas, you know, when you grasp. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu has this one, that man should have an impact in the higher worlds, right? She is now Gual Yodoy, that their halak is for him. Says Rav Chaim, consider the following. We have to consider the following. You do have the Zohar because of Arizal. Because I don't think, he says, from the Zohar and from the Kizbah of Arizal, says Rav Chaim, it's an old thing. That is, the Seder Hishtalshulus, the Hiskashus, Ho Oilomois, Shekol Oilem, who misnai every world, basically, as the Hanoge, the Sidur Matsovoi, in terms of its matzav and its order, Bechol Prote in Yonov, see the Tiyas Koyach Ho Oilem Sholom. What does he say? The time is saying as follows. This is based upon the Zohar Kodesh, and this is, he's going to now resolve. The Zohar Kodesh and Arizal explain to us the process, again, there are what we call the Esesphiris, the process of 10 worlds, let's call them 10 worlds, let's call them. There are the Esesphiris, or 10 so-called worlds, which form the channel. These 10 worlds, let's call them, they form the channel through which Kodesh Baruch Hu's infinite spiritual life is conveyed to the physical world. In other words, what is the pipeline? What is the pipeline that brings down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite spiritual life, brings it down? How does this world can take? This world can't take it. Because the more physical, the less spiritual can fit into it. So, the channel that brings down HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite spiritual life are the 10 worlds. These are the 10 worlds. Now, in this chain, in the chain of the 10 worlds, so you have a Seder. Starting from the top, it goes all the way down until we reach this earth. Every oilam has an oilam above it, starting from 1 to 10. It's saying 1 on the bottom, going all the way up. Now, higher you go, every oilam, the higher you go is more spiritual. The lower you go, it's less spiritual. Talking about the oilam of Yoyim, by the way. Talking about all the oilam of Yoyim. The oilam of Yoyim themselves, the higher you go, they are all the more spiritual. The lower you go, they are less spiritual. The interesting is the relationship between a higher oilam and the lower oilam, being that one is more spiritual than the other. So what the Chaim tells us, he brings down the Shevli Arizal on the dirt of the idea. The same way again that there is a body and there's a neshama. The higher world is the neshama to the lower world. The higher world is more spiritual. The lower world, which is directly underneath, which is immediately underneath, and vice versa. The lower world is the body of the neshama world. So the relationship we have a neshama body relationship. So as you, by the way, so you start at the bottom. You start at the bottom, which is the less, the least of the spirit. You start at the bottom, going from all the way from Shemayim down to ten worlds. The bottom is the least spiritual. The least spiritual is the body of the, so let's say, of the next world, which is immediately above it. So the least spiritual is the body to the upper world immediately above it, and that upper world is the neshama to the lower one. Now, that upper world, world number two, again, the lower one is world number one, and the immediate next one is world number two. So, world number one is the least spiritual, the body is world number two, which is above it. World number two is considered to be the neshama of world number one. What about world number three? World number three is even more spiritual, going higher. And world number three, so world number two is now the body of world number three. So world number two plays two roles. It's considered to be the neshama of world number one, because world number two is more spiritual than world number one. At the same time, world number two is the body of world number three. And world number three now is the neshama of world number two. And it goes the same way. World number three, world number four, which is above it, world number three is the body of world number four. And world number four is considered to be the neshama. So let's take a look now. Here's the word. Every higher world is a neshama. Every higher world, as you go higher, is a neshama of the lower world. There's a crime. Shem Arizal. Let's take a look again. Let's repeat it again. Yedua. So again. Yedua b'zoyer b'kizda Arizal. Seder yishtalshus yishtalshus of all. Regarding the Seder of all of those worlds, Shekol Oilam, each of the worlds, saying, each of the 10 worlds, who misnayik, each world, yisidu matzoboy, in a particular order, what's that order? B'chotrodinyonov, shvinatiyas koyach ha'oilam shemolam. Now, because we said, the world above it is its neshama. The neshama which gives it the koyach movement. Remember by man. Man before the neshama had no koyach movement. Was lifeless. The neshama gives man the koyach movement. But the same thing, being that the upper world, the immediate upper world, is a neshama to the immediate lower world. So therefore, the hanhoge of the lower world is according under the influence of the immediate upper world above it. As he said. That means, v'netiyat koyach oilam sha'olam. Shemanhigoy k'nishama saguf. So each world that goes higher and higher, each world is the neshama of the immediate lower world below it. Then it's chen hoylech. He says alzeh haseid gevoyah al gevoyah. So it continues to go. He says so it continues to go on and on. He says adam yisgar shmoi nishmas kulam until you reach all the way up to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So now what happens is. Again, every higher world constitutes the soul of the body of the world below it. And that higher world in turn becomes, as we said, the body, which is the soul from the world above it. And so on, so on. Right? It's an upward progression, it keeps going up and up, that reaches higher and higher all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the neshama of all of the worlds. So, just understand this, again, a little bit practically speaking, a little bit. So, what this does for us, it goes like this. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we said, is the infinite, has infinite light. Kodesh Baruch Hu, as we said, wants to channel that light down to this world. So it has to be screened, more and more, in order, just to the extent that this world is able to receive it. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows his light on this world, the series of 10 spiritual worlds. That light goes through a series of 10 spiritual worlds, like starting from the divine throne, by the Tzitzis HaKovet, down to the physical universe. By the way, as it goes down from world to world, it's always less spiritual. Till by the time it reaches the lowest point in the physical world, where then that this world is able to tolerate. That's the idea. That's the function of these 10 worlds, which become the channels of everything. But Reb Chaim's going to tell us, and we'll leave this just for next week, because we can skip from here and go to the end of the parashah. You see what's going on over here. Reb Chaim tells us, all of the 10 worlds, each upper world is the soul, right, of the lower world underneath. Man becomes the neshama, even to the highest of the worlds. That's Gadlus Adam. It's amazing, amazing. Of all the 10 worlds, each neshama, as you go higher in progression, each upper world is the neshama to the world below,